as the Lord should be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, and the 17th verse. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Chapter 17, the book of Proverbs, and the 17th verse. You will not need the preacher to tell you who the friend is that this word before us refers to. A friend, such an one, as loveth at all times, must be he, and he alone, who is verily God, verily man. You have been singing, whom though we cannot comprehend, knowing thou art the sinner's friend, we love thee and adore. And if you really do know what it is to do that, love thee and adore, then you are shut up in that beautiful scripture, we love him because he first loved us. I want, as the Lord should help me, to look at this subject from two or three viewpoints, and although it is found in the book of Proverbs, it is much more than a proverb as it is recorded in the sacred pages. The word of God says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort in the scriptures might have hope. And if you are helped of God to ponder in your heart this great truth setting forth Jesus Christ as the sinner's friend, a friend that loveth at all times, whatever those times may be passing over you, God is love, is the meaning. And it is to be known and felt, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And whatever time is passing over you, though it may be a time hard to be understood, and you might think, according to what you are by nature, it is a hard time, yet in the ultimate issue, you will find Jesus Christ is that friend who loveth even in such a time. And it is to bring you nearer to him to realize his friendship. Trials make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring us to Christ's feet and lay us low and keep us there. And now I look first of all, as grace is given, at the first half of the subject before us. A friend loveth at all times. Here is Jesus Christ set before us as the sinner's friend. And every man whom God ordains to preach, as grace is given, desires to remember one scripture as he goes up the pulpit steps, as to what his business is in preaching the gospel. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As the Apostle Paul declared, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the word of God is, if I be lifted up in the gospel proclamation, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. I hope quite a few of you, dear people, young and old, shall I say, do know somewhat of what that drawing, sweet, blessed, wondrous drawing is. When you feel 'tis Christ the bright and morning star draws my affections from afar. Let us, as grace is given, consider Jesus Christ as the friend who loveth at all times. And to do that, as I hinted at the outset, he must be divine in his friendship and how he makes it known. An earthly friend fails. He may have it in his heart to show himself friendly, but he is not always in the place where he can do so. And even if he should be, he does not have the capacity to do so according as the friendship is needed to be shown. And now a fullness resides in Jesus, our head, and ever abides to answer our need. And it is a wonderful consideration. The words are so familiar that I often fear the reality of the truth set forth therein is not entered into as it should be. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God came down into this world, the world which he had made to be his workshop, and he came down into it, verily God, the eternal Son of God, in his divine nature. He came down to do that work, which had to be done, that the love of God might be exhibited, known, and felt by that vast host ordained to life eternal. Oh, it is a great truth. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it was because he was a friend who loveth that he came on such a wondrous mission. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, this friend, blessed be his name, is a friend who is divine. And his friendship, therefore, is unfailing. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. A friend loveth at all times. But then, if you and I are to know what this wondrous friendship is that exists between the sinner's friend and poor sinners like you and me, then there is something that God must do, which he alone can do, that God and man might be brought together on friendly terms. Oh, when the Adam fall took place, as I often remind you, the Lord God drove out the man and woman from Eden's garden into the world as it is, under a curse. Oh, that was a going out into what our text describes as adversity. In Eden's garden, it was wondrous prosperity, happiness beyond words to describe. In such a fullness as Adam and Eve could enjoy, coming from their Creator's hands as perfect creatures with a capacity to enjoy all the happiness God had prepared for them to enter into. But when sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, then they lost that wondrous happiness and had to go out, turn their backs on Eden's garden, and go out into the world and find it to be a wilderness, and to realize adversity, and that there was now a breach betwixt God and man that no man born could ever make up except he of whom the text tells us. He who became verily man. When that amazing event took place at Bethlehem long ago, when Jesus Christ was born a babe by birth mysterious, and then veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. And now that brings us to this viewpoint. This friend in our text is not only a friend who is divine, blessed be God, he is human. God in our nature. He had a sinless humanity. A body hast thou prepared me. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. If you look round the world today, you will see humanity degraded. Humanity at its lowest level since creation's dawn. All creation is groaning through the dire effects of the Adam fall, and you see humanity often on a level with the beasts, and sometimes lower still, because it is simple humanity that you look on. You may well sing how sad our state by nature is. Our sins, how deep their stains. And Satan holds and binds us fast within his slavish chains. But look at the friend in the text. He comes down into this world as verily God, to be made manifest as verily man. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was made manifest in the flesh. I want to remind you about the word in there. I like to think on it. It might be a help to you to do so. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was made manifest in the flesh. And now where is it that it is without controversy? You will find it is without controversy in the Church of Christ alone. And outside it, it is with controversy. So that the man in the street, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thee or thy ways. Ask the man in the street, what think ye of Christ? We will not have this man to reign over us. And there is controversy made manifest. But in the Church of Christ, where are congregated poor sinners born again, ask each one, what think ye of Christ? And without controversy, without any argument, any mental reservation, any questioning, we believe and assure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Yes. God manifest in the flesh. And so this friend is human. Blessed be his name. And therefore, he can act on our behalf before God. Remember that. Since my Savior stands between in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And what do you sing? Do believe it. And that human heart, he still retains, though throned in highest bliss, and feels each tempted member's pains for our afflictions, his. He is a brother born for adversity, whatever its nature. A friend loveth at all times. Verily God, verily man. God in our nature. And it is good when you can feel, I love the incarnate mystery, and there is all my trust. Much can be said about this friend, and it ought to be said. And I think one of the most wonderful things ever recorded is the last word that was ever penned, inspired of God, of this Holy Bible book divine. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And now that is the final word in the Holy Bible book divine. So much can be said about this friend in the text. But when all is said and done, if you find him to be in your soul's experience the sinner's friend, oh, that will be a wonderful mercy. This man receiveth sinners. A friend of publicans and sinners, said those who did not love him or his truth. But those who do, oh, how glad they are to think of him as such a friend. A friend loveth at all times. He is, first of all, a rich friend. Rich because he is verily God. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Rich as verily God, made manifest as poor as verily man, that you might be made rich for time and eternity too. Rich. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Rich in all that is to be seen in creation. His own handiwork therein. Rich in his providence, for he is at no loss to help his people, whatever times pass over them, whatever their need may be. My God shall supply all your need out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But when you think of him as rich, as the God of all grace, think of him not only as a rich friend, a gracious friend. You see, our friends are not always gracious, because there is what they are by nature, and that sometimes may superabound, and then they will be ungracious in their attitude, although they will repent of it and lament it later on. But this friend, of whom I am trying to tell you a little, as the God of all grace, he is Jesus Christ the same. yesterday and today and forever. And it says, a friend loveth at all times. His heart remains overflowing with love. Whatever you may think of his attitude toward you, in his dealings with you, you will misjudge him and his dealings if you should say, all these things are against me. Because even in such a time, when his dealings are hard to be understood, he is a friend that loveth still. And in the working out of his love, you will live to see. Out of the eater shall come forth meat. Out of the strong shall come forth sweetness. And whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, he is a gracious friend, is Jesus Christ. And poor sinners, in their felt need of more grace, how ready is he, as the God of all grace, to bestow it? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And now all earthly friends, and remember, earthly friendship is to be prized, and we know that we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, but all earthly friendship is limited in its capacity for one to show himself friendly. You must always remember that. But this friend before us is an almighty friend. And he said, ere he returned to heaven, said it to his disciples, and says it to you, everyone following on to know the Lord. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. As thou hast given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Almighty friend. And not only almighty, as you read, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I think one hymn writer has got a wonderful setting forth of this viewpoint of Jesus Christ as an almighty friend. Almighty God, sighed human breath. The Lord of life experienced death. How it was done, we can't discuss. But this we hold, 'twas done for us. Everything hinges on that. For us, does that concern you? Does that give you solemn searchings of heart? Does that sometimes fill your breast with many fears as to whether it was for such an one as you feel to be, such a sinner as you know that you are? Oh, you may have many searchings of heart about it, whether it was for us. Thou doest well to have it in thy heart, to be numbered with the us referred to. Yes. And who can tell but what God will be gracious to you? And do remember, did Jesus die and not for me? Am I forbade to seek my God? Is there not pardon full and free proclaimed through Jesus' precious blood? Blessed be God, there is. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise. I will never, no, never, no, never cast out. Almighty friend, then whatever time is passing over you, poor sinner, this Sabbath morn, be it to do with you or yours. Here is a friend who delights to show himself friendly. And his word is, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And it means not so much rest in your circumstances, it may be, for they remain to be sorted out, and crooked things to be made straight, rough places plain. But there is a sweet, wondrous, indescribable rest known and felt within. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, possessing our hearts and minds, so that you can enter into that word, be still, and know that I am God. Too wise to err, too good to be unkind. A friend loveth at all times, and he is an almighty friend. And I might add that he is an all-wise friend. And now sometimes our friends may not be wise in what they say or do. And we do see, I do from the pastor's viewpoint, see sometimes my friend do things which I think are unwise. As before God, I mean. I'm not putting any caps on. I'm just following out this line of thought running in my mind. And earthly friends may be unwise. But this friend in the text is said to be, and he is, God only wise. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. A friend loveth at all times. And sometimes you have a time pass over you when you say, O Lord, we know not what to do in this matter or that. Do lead us as thou alone canst do. Show me now thy way. If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way and help me to go therein. Oh, there is that word also in the Proverbs. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. What is it to do so? The other half of the text tells you, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord is God. All wise is this friend. You may look on sometimes at his doings and dealings, and the flesh will dislike the way that he ordains for you to go along. But if you are a sinner taught of God, he will be saying to you, this is the way, walk ye in it. And it will be a wonderful mercy if you are helped to go therein, because as you go along it, you will find he is that friend who loveth at all times. Not only so, this friend is a faithful friend. He is said to be the ever-faithful God. And you can look through the word of his grace and consider his works wherever it is possible for you to do so, and examine them in every jot and tittle. And you will find, for his mercy shall endure, ever faithful, ever sure. And you think on it from your viewpoint. You have found this friend in the text to be a faithful friend, and you sometimes have been faithless. The Saviour could say to you and to me what he said to his disciples, be not faithless, but believe him. Oh, he is a faithful friend, and what he has said in the word of his grace, he will not fail to bring it to pass in every jot and tittle concerning you or yours, as the case may be. A friend loveth at all times. And I think like this. The thought came to me pondering the subject. What a patient friend Jesus Christ is in all his dealings with his dear people. There is an infinite tenderness in his dealings. He is wonderfully forbearing, long-suffering, a patient friend. And you know, earthly friends are not always patient, because they may grow impatient and not be able to wait a while to make plain what they want to show you, or truth they wish to make plain to you, because you may be dull of understanding. And it says of those who teach, apt to teach, and the next word is patient, which means that you must wait and continue to teach until the lesson is learned. And now, this friend in the text, he is a patient friend. He tarries off till men are faint, and he comes at evening late. He hears and will relieve complaint, 'tis ours to pray and wait. And it is well for you to remember that as you wait on God concerning the matters to do with everyday life, that as you wait on God, the Lord is waiting to deal graciously with you. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And leading up to it, it says, therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And that is, a time he has set to heal up thy woes, a season most fit his love to disclose, until he is ready to accomplish his will, be patient and steady. Wait on him still. And there is a wonderful word of the Apostle Peter's, inspired of God to record it. Account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. You have found him to be a long suffering friend in his dealings with you. And you know, preacher and people alike, you and I have sorely tried him at times. Not always have you and I been well behaved Godward, and yet he still loveth, even at such a time. When the children are wayward, and they must needs be corrected and chastened according to the word of God, your love as a father or mother remains a reality. And so it is in the dealings of God with his people. A friend loveth at all times. And it might be a correcting time. And blessed is the man whom thou chastest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity. Yes, a friend loveth at all times. There is one more adjective to use about this friend in the text. I just wonder how many of you can use it. And now, to those who are taught of God, especially as you go on in life's journey down into its evening time, Jesus Christ as the sinner's friend becomes a dear friend. And it is a wonderful feeling to get within when you can say everything that's dear to him, to me, is also dear. You find when you go to people's dying beds, people talk of God, I mean, that all they want to talk about is this friend in the text, and to realize his friendship, and to tell out what they have known of it, and to say, this is my beloved, and this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. A friend loveth at all times. And so this is the person then in the text. And remember that he is verily God, a friend who is divine. He is verily man, a friend who is human, a savior of quick understanding. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. And in Isaiah, there is another scripture which will help you to think how it is his name should be called Wonderful, and a man should be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. A friend. The great thing is to be able to say, my friend. Do you think you can do it? Is it your concern that you might be helped to do so? And out of the abundance of the heart, for the mouth to speak, and to say, oh, for grace our hearts to soften, teach us, Lord, at length to love. We, alas, forget too often what a friend we have above, but when home our souls are brought, we will love thee as we ought. The friend loveth at all times. And now look at the second viewpoint of the subject, coming along toward the amen. And it says, a friend loveth. And now mark, that is put in the present tense. It must needs be. A friend loveth at all times. Does not mean he has loved some, and he may love others, but he loveth at all times. You might think, there have been times in my life when I did hope his love was shed abroad in my heart, and I could feel that he did love me. But alas, I do not feel like that nowadays. I cannot see those same signs. My evidences seem out of sight. I know not what I am, where I am in things divine, but this friend still loves you, even at such a time as you are passing through. And he said to his disciples, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Yes. Much might be said along that line of thought. A friend loveth. And now you cannot love to order. People talk about falling in love, which is an expression quite familiar. And love is always spontaneous. And it is born in us. And it comes as a wondrous glow. But you cannot produce it. You cannot create it. You cannot obtain it from any earthly source. But it must be wrought in you by a power from outside you, if it is to be love worth the name. Remember that. And that means a friend loveth at all times. And now this love, which the sinner's friend exhibits to his dear people, is sovereign in its nature. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And Moses said to the children of Israel, it is a very simple word, it is very sublime. The Lord set his love on you because he would love you. And no preacher, though he be ordained of God to preach, can tell you any more than that. Only amplify it. He would love you. And that love is sovereign in its nature. And if it has reached you, who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou dost not receive? You must acknowledge it is the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Not only so, a friend loveth at all times. And remember, he loved you before time. Before time was born. Before the world was built. Therefore, this love, we ought to say it is timeless. We would say it is everlasting love. They who once his kindness proved find it everlasting love. And then this love of the sinner's friend is infinite love. You can only love as a creature with a love that is finite. But the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is infinite love. The love of he who is verily God, verily man. Remember that. Because whatever times pass over you, whatever your needs may be, they will be finite needs. And therefore, God, who is infinite, can meet those needs, whatever they may be. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? A friend loveth at all times. And this love wherewith he loveth you, and I hope the preacher too, is unmerited love. There was nothing in you, nothing in me, that could cause the Savior to set his love upon us. No. And this love, being eternal in its nature, was set on us, as I said, before time was born. When the covenant was set up, ordered in all things, and sure. Another thought is this, a friend loveth at all times. And now this love is boundless, limitless. Go back to that word I have quoted. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Such is the love of Christ in the manifestation of it. Boundless. Hundreds of millions does he love with everlasting love. And that love is still the river of God, which is full of water. The friend loveth at all times, and it will be unfailing love. The love of earthly friends must needs fail at the graveside. And we sorrow because we shall see their faces no more. And we have lost the exhibition of their love. But the dear Savior said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And because I live, ye shall live also. And had the time allowed, I would have shown you in this love of the sinner's friend that it is an instructing love. and they shall be all taught of God, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And those whom the sinner's friend sets his love upon, each one, every one, the word of the Lord says, and they shall all know me, from the least of them, which takes in the young people, children, babes, to the greatest of them, and those down to our hairs. They shall all know me, and then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. And if we're helped to do it, follow on to know the Lord, we shall know more and more as we journey on that he is indeed a friend that loveth at all times. I must leave the subject there, and the Lord help you to weigh these things up and ponder them in your hearts. Amen.